Morning, friends. Please keep your Bibles open, and I would always encourage you to bring your Bibles to church and or turn them on or do whatever you do now. But we're looking into God's Word today, and it's great to be here today. I really sense the presence of God among us. The Lord is here. Someone once said, you know, we need to, it's like reaching out to touch the hem of his garment, you know, like the woman did, and really reaching out to touch the Lord today. Don't let the Lord pass by and go out those doors and keeping your burdens, keeping your fears. Give them to God. I sense as well today that there's a word for those who are tired and weary. To look to Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think that might be for some of us here today. Some of us may be tired. I mean, I'm sure lots of us are tired. But I'm talking about that kind of deep tiredness that really drags you down. And Jesus is the one who can refresh your soul today. But we're looking today at a subject that is all about, actually, joy. And it's the subject of generosity. And I'd love us to begin to talk about that. I do also be praying for Caroline. She's actually ministering in Leighton today. She's speaking on behalf of Tear Fund. And so do be praying for her as we're both at it this morning. I want to start in talking about generosity by just saying thank you. Because actually I really know this is a very generous church. And there's a huge heart for generosity here in St. Mary's. And thank you to everybody who gives and shares time and your talents, in your finances, in every way. I really want you to hear that. Thank you so much for that giving and generosity that you do. And we have a big vision here as well. The vision is to see every person and every place saturated with God. We want the encounter that Carolyn was talking about so amazingly, and what we saw in Rwanda, I just love that. But we want that to be happening here. And wouldn't it be great to have a vision for 40,000 life groups? Like, wow, that's incredible. But actually, our life groups are multiplying. And I pray that God will stir us up, even in wherever we are today, whatever situation we may find ourselves in, that we take a step towards Jesus today, as he is taking many steps toward us this morning. So we've got a big vision. And that big vision needs to be matched by big generosity from us as God's people. It's kind of strange in a way to have to teach Christians about giving, because as followers of Jesus, Jesus is the greatest gift himself, and also one who gave all the time. Jesus was giving and giving and giving out in his life, in his ministry, and eventually, ultimately, in his death on the cross. And that's the example that we take as his disciples, to be givers. My own testimony about giving is, I remember the first time I connected with this idea that God might want to use me to give. I was a student when I was in St. Andrews, it's probably, in those days, student incomes are probably better than they are now, but still it wasn't a lot. And I remember there was a real move of God while we were at university, and with a lot of people were really encountering God in a very real way. It was one of those seasons, in fact, it's probably the season closest to revival I can really think of, where just prayers were being answered, people were coming to Christ all over the place, Christians were just really experiencing the filling of the Holy Spirit in a wonderful way. So we were really going for it in the things of God. And in our church where I was as a student, I remember one day we were worshiping just as we've just done. And I sensed the Lord say to me, that, you know, that still small voice of God. And you think, oh, is that me or is that God? And it was, the Lord just kind of prompted me and said, go to the cash point and get out a certain number. I can't actually remember how much it was, but I think it was a shocking number for a student. It was a lot. It was much more than I was normally tempted to give. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, I wrestled with that for a minute, you know, that thinking of like, is that me or is that God? Because if it's just me, I won't do that. Why would I do that? And then I thought, I'll do it. Because actually the thing was, at that time, we were seeing God move so wonderfully that actually that giving really just came out of an overflow of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. So I left this church while they were all singing and worshiping. I went outside to the bank, the cash point, and got my money out, came back in and gave the money. And actually, I found that very releasing. It was a moment of freedom. That was the first time I had really taken giving as something serious. And it was kind of prompted by the Lord, but it also brought about a lot of joy. And there was a lot of cheer in my heart, because I was like, in one way you're thinking, this is crazy, as you put all the money in, but then in another way you're thinking, wow, this is so freeing. This is actually liberating, because the world is so caught up with money. And Jesus teaches about money a huge amount. You know, you can't serve both God and money, and so on. And there's a lot of teaching of Jesus about money. I find this absolutely liberating. I also, in my experience, have seen from my own parents who've lived by faith for over 25 years. They gave up a business following the Lord's prompting into evangelism, rural evangelism work, and lived by faith over 25 years. When Caroline and I got married 19 years ago, we made that decision as a couple, right at the beginning of our marriage, we were going to tithe our income first to the Lord. And so we made the tithe, and we've done it ever since. It's the first thing. It's not the last. We don't look and see how much we've got left. We start the month by giving to the Lord, and then we live on what is left. And actually, over the years, we've found it a real... There's been a lot of grace in giving, and that we've enjoyed giving the tithe and more, and we've also enjoyed giving offerings. And I really want to encourage us today, yes, to tithe to your church, but also to give offerings all over the place. Sow it out liberally, your giving. Whether it's Tear Fund, as we've just seen, Open Doors, whatever, you can give to Epping Forest Food Bank now as well, because Epping Forest Food Bank is a charity now, and they need funds. And I would encourage us to give to Epping Forest Food Bank. I'm sure if Heather's here, I think, somewhere. Yes? If you need... Yes! Look, Heather's got all the information for you. Give. Go and see Heather. Heather, would you just stand up for a minute so everybody can see you? Yes. Marvelous. Go and give. Let's give Heather a round of applause. The Bible says here, scatter your gifts to the poor. We need to be giving to food bank, giving to these places where the ministry is really about seeing Jesus bring transformation, as we've seen. And it's an absolute joy to do it. I really want to encourage us in that. And here at St. Mary's, we've actually got a real testimony of giving as well and provision. I mean, look around you, because God is using these buildings for mission and for the kingdom of God. And actually, all of this is all paid for thanks to the generosity of you, God's people, giving. And now it is making a huge difference every week, almost daily, really. God is doing stuff here. So this is not something I'm expecting to... It's really a call to continue, a call to be renewed in our hearts around this area of giving. And let's just get into the text here. I've got three things I want to share from 2 Corinthians 9 this morning. And the first one is this, that generous giving is a testimony of freedom. So the title today is Why Give Generously. So the first thing is, the reason we give generously is because this is a testimony of freedom. In other words, that liberation I spoke about, that sense of freedom, that sense of joy, that sense of, you know what, I get to give to God. It's not something that we're saying is a law. You know, there's no law that you must give. But actually, it's not that we must, it's that we may. It's that we can. This is wonderful. This is all part of our discipline of generosity. as God's people. So we've been singing about the holiness of God this morning and looking unto God, and I love it. Week by week we come here, or when you go to life group, or when you get into your Bible through the week, or whatever you, however you meet with the Lord, we are calling ourselves back to God. We're calling our minds looking unto Jesus. And the more we look unto Jesus, that's where our freedom comes from. That's where our joy and peace can come from, even in the toughness of life. That's where it comes from, and that sets our hearts free. And I really want to encourage you, if you don't know a freedom in your heart around giving, then you can ask the Lord today, Lord, set my heart free to give. Set my heart free to serve. Set my heart free to love. This is about the heart. Whether we're loving people, serving people, caring for people, it's true of listening to people. Because so often if you're listening in a conversation, and I would really love us as a church to go deeper in our conversations together. You ever have that conversation where you're planning what you're saying before, and you're not really listening to the other person? And actually, what it takes a heart, a free heart, to really listen. Because you're not just trying to get your point across, you're really wanting to listen to someone. And this is the heart of Jesus that I'd love us all to share and all to grow in and all to experience, because it's this heart that we give from. And it's an amazing thing. In the kingdom of God, as we know, things are upside down, or perhaps the right way up, really. You know, we live by dying to self. Really living is about dying to self. That's how you really live. We gain by losing. We receive by giving. That's how the kingdom of God works. And we don't gain by getting or protecting or defending our borders as the world does. In the world, you earn your money and you protect it, defend it, don't let anybody in, you know. Keep as much as you can, because you never know what will happen at some point, the rainy day or whatever. Now, there's nothing wrong with saving, but what the wrong attitude is, the attitude of self-protection, withholding, withdrawing, and doing it yourself. Because actually, in our reading, as we'll see in a minute, God is the one who provides for us. It's really liberating when you know you're not really in charge. God is. Jesus is Lord. Isn't that the confession of every Christian? Jesus is Lord. Over what? Is he Lord over your time? Is he Lord on Sundays? Is he Lord on Monday? Is he Lord on Wednesday? Is he Lord over your bank account? Is he Lord over your TV? Is he Lord over your phone? Is he Lord on all these things that come into our lives? And this is it's about liberation. The kingdom of God is where we actually receive by giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In the problem often we encounter is we approach giving like the world does. And the world has various arguments as to why we should not give, why we should withhold, why we should be protect self-protection. It might say to her, you know, it's my money. How dare you talk about money? In the world today, people don't like to talk about money. And this is my money. Do you know what the Psalm 24 says? Psalm 24 is a beautiful psalm. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I've got news for you. Your bank account is not yours. Did you know that? Your house? You might think, well, I've saved and I bought that house. Do you know what? It's not even yours. God's house. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Isn't that wonderful? What a freeing scripture that is. That should bring us into like freedom. We don't have, Jesus said, do not worry about your life. What you sow and what you reap. You know, your Father in heaven knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's about dependence and relationship with God that looks like something. So we can't say it's my money. We can't say, some people say, well, I don't want to. And actually, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16 for a minute, it's a lovely, I love the example here of the Macedonian church. The Macedonian church, where Paul was going around collecting, it was taking a collection for those in need. And he went to a church in Macedonia, and they were struggling. Anyway, he says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. I'll talk about the Macedonians in a minute. This is the Galatians. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So what he's talking there is about, let's do this regularly. Let's do regular giving so that the needs of the people can be met. And that's what love does. Well, you say, I don't want to. Well, actually, love calls us to that place of regular giving. And I want to encourage you, wherever you give to Food Bank regularly, give to Tear Fund, give to the church here regularly, wherever the Lord calls you to give, give regularly and often so that the needs can be met. Then the last objection I've got here is, well, if I give, then I won't have enough left. And actually, this is the Macedonians. Just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. This is called the collection for the Lord's people. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. This is a church that's struggling. They've got trials and tribulations going on, but do you know how it says that they are overflowing at the same time? I think this is amazing. This to me is what we mean by the victorious Christian life. It doesn't mean everything's going well. It usually means things are hard, but we're looking to God in the hard times for our help and our provision and our safety and our identity and everything else that we need to look to God for. As Christians, we look to God. And it says that from even in the time of severe trial, the grace of God was on them, and out of their overflowing joy, they were rich in generosity. I think that's amazing. And God, even in times of trial, when we think we're not going to have enough, God provides. I would encourage anybody, by the way, if you're in debt, clear your debt rather than give your money. Come out, if you can, of debt. And there's great programs for getting out of debt, such as Christians Against Poverty and so on. So nobody is encouraging anybody to do anything with their money that isn't right here. So this is what it says, though. It says, remember this, 2 Corinthians 9, 6-15. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Setting up a contrast here. Now just think about your own life, really. Which camp are you in? The sparing camp or the generous camp? And sometimes the sparing camp is where we're coming up with all these things. It's my money. I don't want to. I won't have enough. That causes you to sow sparingly. But I believe the Bible calls us to sow generously, to trust the Lord, to look to God, to seek God's help in all these things. It says, each of you, that's all of us, if you're looking at your Bible here, it's verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this is where this sense of liberty is about. So it's not nobody here should be giving anything that you don't want to give. Don't give it reluctantly. Don't give it under... No, don't give because I said so. Don't give because somebody said so. You give out of the freedom of your heart towards the Lord. This is why we give generously, because it's a testimony of freedom. We are not here depending on money. We're depending on the Lord. We're citizens of heaven. We need money to live. Of course we do. We need to be sensible. And it's okay to save, and it's okay to spend and do all these things we'll come on to in a minute. But we also want to be givers. I have rich generosity, something overflowing from your heart of the goodness of God. And I tell you something, even if sometimes you think, well, I'm not sure, but I'm going to give it a go, there is something that's unlocked by giving generously. It frees you up. It kind of unshackles you. It actually, the discipline of giving itself brings freedom because we're really trusting in the Lord. And that's So he says, seeing here, everyone giving cheerfully. That's the heart behind what's going on. And this, in number two, goes on, because it says in verses 8 to 11. So we looked firstly at generous giving is a testimony of freedom. And then secondly, generous giving puts God at the center of your life. If you ever wonder, you're kind of ever wrestling with how do you know God is at the center? How can I put God at the center? There are many things, but one of those things would be giving. If you're wondering if God is at the center, you know, then start to give, and that will help you. It's a discipline of generosity. Just like prayer is a discipline of intimacy, so giving is a discipline of generosity. Jesus teaches it in the Sermon on the Mount. He brings together prayer, fasting, giving, all these different things all come together because they are heart disciplines that cause you, if you want to get closer to God, then free yourself from the world and the love of the world and the love of money and so on, and give your heart to God. And one of the ways you can put God at the center is through generosity. It says here in verse 8, here's a beautiful phrase. He says, God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. In other words, you overflow from your heart to God, and then God provides for you. Why? So that you can do it again. So that there can be this beautiful upward cycle of generosity and love and sharing and the goodness of God and kindness and provision of need. And all these things are going on, this upward, not a downward, an upward cycle really. God is able. And those three words I want us to remember when we're giving. We're giving as unto the Lord. All of our jobs we do as unto the Lord. When you're at work, don't work for yourself. Work for God. Whatever your job is, I don't mind what your job is. It could be anywhere, but do it as unto the Lord. And it shifts your perspective off yourself and onto God. And so we're working for God in all the vocations you can think of. Whatever your job is, if you don't have a job, then look for a job as unto the Lord. If you're at home, take the time at home as unto the Lord. If whatever your circumstances, we're always doing whatever, in everything that we do, do we do all things as unto the Lord. We're giving to God, we're worshiping to God, we're resting, and we're taking Sabbath delight as unto the Lord. If you're resting, if you're watching TV, watch TV as unto the Lord, you know, if you can. And whatever you're doing, if you're having a lovely meal, have it as unto, you know, this is life, discipleship. It is part of all of it. It's part of the fabric of everything that we do. I can't think of anything it doesn't apply to. It's wonderful. This is why being a disciple is an all-in experience. God is able. God is able. God is able to make His grace abound to you. Anybody here think they can outgive God? Anybody here think they're more generous than God? No, we can't. God is able to make all grace abound to us. And He gives to us not so that we can hoard, but He gives to us so we can keep giving. That's what it says here. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. And I would love, I see this congregation, and whenever I'm praying for you all through the week, we're praying that God will give you many good works to do throughout the week, and that your light will shine before others, so that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Something happens in your heart when you give that frees you up. Something happens in your heart when you pray that connects you to God. We don't always feel it. Doesn't matter. We're going for the freedom. Isn't always a feeling. The freedom is a reality. It's an experience. So God is at the center of giving. And it's wonderful to know that even though our giving is a response to God, the gospel is free, 100% free. Nobody has to pay a penny to be saved, to get to heaven, to know Christ, to come into the fullness of God. Nothing, you don't have to give anything at all. God has done it 100% for us. All that giving is about is that we say, we are amazed at your goodness, God. You are an amazing God. And we want to love one another. And so we look around and we think, there are needs. Lord, let us give. Give us the joy of giving. We can't be, don't hold us back from giving. We want to give so that all the needs can be met. It says in verse 10 here, look at verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. What that's telling, I believe it's telling me here is that there's all the money that we have in our banks and various places that we have our money. It's all either seed money or bread money. In other words, you need it to live. That's the bread money. We all need money to live. And you've got plenty, you know, God will provide bread money. And where people are in need of bread money, that's where we should be stepping in to help. But God provides seed for the sower and bread for eating. So it's fine to save for things that you need. It's fine to spend on things that you need. It's fine to do all these things. You know, we should do that with freedom and joy. It's good. We want a good economy. We need to buy and sell. For people, we want people to be employed. We want people to have work. And all these things are part of the grace of God towards us. So there's bread for the eater, but there's also seed for the sower. And all of our money, even though most of it goes on bread for the eater, some of it should be sown. How are you sowing with your money? Sometimes we need to sow out. And then the great thing about sowing is that when you sow, it produces a harvest that's much bigger than what you actually sowed. The harvest is bigger than the seed. And so when you sow in giving, God will give the increase and he will do amazing things through what you sow, whatever that is to. It's not only here, but in other places as well. But if we can be those have that generous heart and sow as well as eat, that's a good thing. And that's my encouragement to you. To spend, save, give in freedom. The key is that generosity flows when God is at the center. Is God at the center? And the last thing is this. We've had giving is a testimony of freedom. It's about where your heart is at. Giving is helps us put God at the center of our lives. And then the last thing is giving puts the gospel on display. Because that's what we're really about, wanting people to, just like that, I love that Rwanda video, seeing people saved and also seeing them practically helped. That's brilliant. That's what we want here as well. And then the last section of verse 12 to 15, the seven words here that are really gospel words and that really, I pray, something will ignite and explode in your mind as you read this passage and think, yes, this is what I want. I want to be part of this. Let's read it. It says, the service, there's the number one word, the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but, and we'll come on to the next word. So that's the first word, service. We serve, we give, when we're giving, we're serving. We're serving other people's needs. You know, when you're giving to Food Bank, when you're serving the community, when you're giving to St. Mary's, you're serving the community, when you're giving to wherever you're giving, you're serving. And that's Christ came not to be served, but to serve. It's another way of doing that. And then secondly, it says, the Lord, but also in overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. This is, here it is. We read this word overflowing before about the Macedonian church, who were kind of like, you know, at the starting gun. It was a bit like that. Paul was, as he was describing these Macedonian Christians who were facing trials, he was also saying, out of their overflowing joy, they pleaded with us so that they could share in this grace of giving. It was like they were on the starting pistol, waiting, like, we're going to give. Let us give. Go. You know, we want to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, but like, we want to do this. overflowing. I love that word, overflow. I think all the best discipleship comes out of overflow. It just comes out of a place where we say, God, you are good. You are a generous God. You are a loving God. And all my giving is in response to who you are. When we're worshiping the Lord and saying, holy, holy, worthy, worthy, what we're doing is we're acknowledging who God is. And it makes, doesn't it make you want to sort of jump and say, God, here I am. I'm wholly yours. You know, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move the impulse of your love. Take my feet, Lord, wherever I go, take that, Lord God. Take everything about me. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. That's when we're worshiping the Lord, and when there's overflow, and when we're acknowledging who God is, it all comes from that place where we just go, I surrender. Lord, take my life. You've done it all for me. That's where the gospel comes into this. Because the gospel, friends, the gospel is so good. Unless we're asleep to the gospel, unless we've kind of dozed off about the gospel is so good that it will just make us spring up to want to serve the Lord, to serve others, to care for the poor, to listen, to love, to serve, you name it. It's like, when do we start? Where do you sign me up for this? Are you following me? I'm getting some funny looks this morning. Thank you, Susan. We want to serve the Lord. It's literally part of it. This is why it hardly needs to be said, but I'm saying it anyway. So, this is the overflowing word. And then the third word is this obedience. It says here, it says, because of the service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And there's part of giving that is obedience. He gave. He's the great giver. And out of obedience to Christ, we give. It's very simple. Obedience brings blessing. Read Deuteronomy 28. Obedience brings blessing. We need to obey the Lord. Give. And it also then talks about obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. So it's also witness. Another thing that makes you come alive in Christ is sharing your faith. And the reason why so many people are scared of sharing their faith is because it's hard. That's a very profound statement. But it's hard, but it's liberating. Whenever you confess Christ, you tell someone about Jesus, it might be hard, you might feel like a fool for Christ, but there's a freedom that comes with that, honestly. I am the most alive in God when I'm sharing my faith. And another time when I'm most alive in God is when I'm giving, when I'm serving, when I'm loving people. What is it that makes me go flat in my faith? It's when I'm focusing all on myself. What makes me come more alive is when I'm living for others and for Jesus. Amen? So there is a time for the Lord to search and know us, and that's okay. It's very important. But most of the time, if I'm just focused on defending my own income and making sure I've got everything I need and stressing about this, that, and the next thing, I'm not free. I am bound. So there's a confession, there's a witness of the gospel. Then we're getting there, don't worry. Then it talks about generosity. It says, the confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Generosity, the sharing heart. He goes on to say, we're nearly done. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Now, we've covered what grace means before. I hope you can remember. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That God gives us. Everything we receive from God is by grace. Did we deserve anything that God gave us? No. We don't deserve anything from the Lord. We were enemies of God. We were strangers. we were cut off from God. It was actually God who came to find us and saved us. And now, by his grace, which means unmerited favor, God says, I am with you. God says, I love you. God says, I am your provider. He says, I am able to make all grace abound to you so that you can have what you need in order to share that again. The grace of God is for us. God is for you and not against you. God, the Lord's, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. His grace, everything, your next breath that you breathe is by his grace. God has you alive for such a time as this, so that not so that we can get, but so that we can give, so that we can serve, so that we can love. And the marvelous thing about this is that as we do those things, he fills us. He makes all grace abound to us. So when the world tells us, well, if you give and you serve and you love, you'll be all washed up. And, you know, actually, if we do it with God at the center, and we rest and we obey God in other areas of our life and take Sabbath, and we have a whole Bible, not just a giving Bible, but a Bible that tells us to love our spouse and to love our kids and to make sure that God is on, you know, all these things. If we can get this balance in our lives, actually, God will bless us. And there's a blessing for us, even in the difficulties of life. God is a God who wants to bless you. It's not always in the way you think he's going to bless you. Sometimes the prosperity preachers get it all wrong because they all just put it down to money. But God is much bigger than that. God is a God who can bless you in every way, as it says here in Corinthians, and make grace abound to you. So grace is a massive. Once you can get hold of God's grace towards you, you know, I would defy anybody, anybody who can grasp the grace of God and is not giving has not grasped the grace of God, because the grace of God will always, it will be unstoppable. It will be overflowing. It will be irresistible to give, to serve, to love, to care, to grow. All these things, that's the heart of God. And then here, the last word. He says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And who's that? Jesus. Brings Jesus in right at the end, because Jesus is the heart of our giving. Jesus is the indescribable gift. Indescribable gift. May God help us not to be so careless about Jesus, because Jesus is indescribable. If anybody thinks you've worked Jesus out, we haven't. If anybody thinks they've worshipped him enough, we haven't. Because he is indescribable. He is. There's no words. Jesus. And if you didn't need any other reason to give, Jesus. Jesus. God's indescribable gift to us. Free. The grace of God. And so, my goodness, Lord, set my heart free to give. I pray that, you know, this would be a cheerful church. When we are cheerfully giving, not under compulsion, not made to, but longing to. That's the heart of a giver. Oh, let me give. Give me the privilege of giving. Not because of you, but because of him. That's the great heart. So, friends, we give. And I want to encourage you today. There are giving forms at the back if that's what you need to do. But I'm not here just to ask for giving to St. Mary's, although I believe it's an important discipline for every disciple to tithe to your local church, whichever church that is. It's not just for us. If you move church, then give to them. But this, we want to help you grow in your discipleship. But also, can I really encourage you, give so your gifts to the poor, all over the place. Food bank, tear fund, open doors, you can think of whichever place you want to give to. But let's be a church which excel in this grace of giving. It's exciting. It is mundane on one level, just it's regular, but it's also freeing, liberating. And if you are someone who hasn't experienced that yet and you're struggling honestly to say, oh, I'm not sure I can, you know, please do talk to, if you're in your life group or other mature Christians around you, about what giving means to them and settling. You may have other practical questions around it. We're always happy to engage on the practical questions of giving as well. But don't let anything stop you from being generous. This is one of the reasons why the Christmas Fair is such a beautiful experience, because we live in such a wealth-centered town and culture, and we want to come in the opposite spirit and say, let's be generous. Let's give it for free. You know, that's why people are so gobsmacked if you've never been to our Christmas Fair before. And I'm always up for other ideas. If anybody's got another idea to help us gobsmack the community with generosity, you know, all ears, because that's where we want to be. Not self-serving, but generous. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Perhaps you want to take that simple prayer. God, set my heart free to give. Set my heart free to give, to serve. Set my heart free to love. Lord, set my heart free to listen. Lord, touch me again with the beauty of the gospel and who Jesus is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps as we're just in a moment of prayer, I think there could be a number of responses that come out from this morning. The most obvious one is that some people maybe need to start giving or review their giving. And I want to encourage you to do that. And just have freedom. Give whatever you've decided in your heart to give. It's not the amount, it's the heart. Maybe some people here this morning need to begin giving. Or increase giving. Or just amend your giving. Maybe the Lord would prompt you giving in new ways. Maybe the Lord is speaking and saying, I want you to give to X or Y. Just listen. Maybe there are those who are struggling and on the lines I've spoken about already, where just not sure what to do. But I pray that the Lord will open your heart to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So just let's take another moment just of quietness and say, Lord, we're saying yes to you now. So what the Lord has just spoken to you, put it into practice. And I've just realized that I've completely blown my time.